Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, this is the 9th episode of the DesignFootball.com podcast. My name is Jay. I am the resident blogger on DesignFootball.com. In episode 2, we spoke to Martin Leroy, who became a part-time kit designer. And in episode 6, we spoke to Jason Lee, who was and is a professional kit designer. Today, we're going to speak to Irving Perez, who is an amateur kit designer who has become a professional kit designer. Hello, Irving.
How's it going, man?
How are you?
I'm well. How about you?
Yeah, not so bad. Okay, this is particularly exciting for me because Irving is actually a member of DesignFootball.com, although he hasn't posted recently for reasons that will become clear. Irving was a member of DesignFootball.com, and then he became a designer, professional kit designer for Ramai Sportswear. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So just tell us a little bit about your beginnings. So as a child, were you designing fantasy kit designs?
What we consider fantasy kit designs now. Yeah. I guess I was doing that when I was a kid. Since I was a kid, I was drawing, action figures. I was watching like the Italy France game from Euro 2000, and I just drew a shirt. And from then on, I just could not stop creating or drawing. It's developed to this.
So that was year 2000. You were designing that sort of thing, and you got the bug for it. So then, I don't know at what stage you joined Design Football, but I take it you were were you uploading designs onto the internet in the mid?
This was just like a hobby on the side. All my friends knew I did it, but that was it. I would just sit down, draw for a little while, draw some shirts, and then keep on my merry way. I never joined anything like that. I never knew there was any internet site back in the day, and I was just concentrating on my college and on my education, blah blah blah. I never really thought it was really gonna become something. And I think one day I ran into a sister website of Design Football, and I remember seeing people uploading their fantasy kits. This is probably 2010, 2011, when I found out about these websites. So this is pretty late in my adulthood, if you want to put it that way. I saw people uploading the designs. They're all digital designs, with Illustrator, Photoshop, what have you. So since, I guess, if you, as you can see in Design Football, and still today, all my designs are hand drawn, and I was kind of, mortified to upload my designs onto the websites because I thought they were going to get thrashed, they were hand drawn. It wasn't going to be to the scale of the digital designs. And I ran to Design Football after that, and was a silent observer for like two years, I guess I would say, just watching and observing, and in my own mind criticizing, not criticizing, liking, not liking, and trying to, and just doing my own stuff on the side all the time. And it was either the USA futsal competition or the Ghana competition. I'm not sure which one came first, but either or, those were the first competitions that I kind of like with the support of my girlfriend and, you know, people are just like, just do it, you know, and just go on and put your designs on online. So I literally scanned my designs after drawing with pencil and color pencils and put them on the website. And that was that. It was pretty cool to see the response right away. It was pretty neat, you know, to go from, I guess, 2013, I'd say, from being a silent observer on design football to where I'm at today. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. So just to give people a little bit of the background, Football Shirt Culture was the original, footballshirtculture.com was the original website. Mm-hmm, and on the back of there being a section on there, which was called Fantasy Kit Design, it seemed like a good name for that section. But when you think about the initialism, it maybe doesn't work quite as well. But if you view it as an acronym, but regardless of that, that was a really popular section of the website. And I don't think until that happened, people realized that there was so much interest in fantasy kit design.
Yeah.
So from there, that's where designfootball.com came from. It showed that there was the potential for a new website to be set up. So fantasy kit design on Football Shirt Culture is very popular. Then designfootball.com started up. And I remember when your design started coming in, and it was almost as if it was irrelevant, because I didn't notice them so much on Football Shirt Culture, but I did notice them on designfootball.com. Sorry, I don't mean it was irrelevant. Your designs are completely irrelevant. I mean it was irrelevant whether their standard was good or not, because it was so refreshing to see someone had actually gone, no, I'm going to hand-draw things, and I'm going to upload them hand-drawn. I'm not going to then go on to Illustrator or anything else. Was it a conscious decision, or was it, this is the only thing I can do, so I have to upload them this way? Or had you tried Illustrator and it hadn't worked out? What was the thinking behind just keeping them hand-drawn like that?
It was basically, I don't know how else to design stuff, so I will draw them as best as I can on paper, on whatever I can find. Markers, color pencils. I don't know how to work. At that time, I didn't know how to work Illustrator. I'm still a beginner right now. Scan my designs and put them online and hope for the best. I didn't want to spend more time on the sidelines. I didn't want to spend more time thinking to myself, do I have to learn all these software? How long is it going to take? You know, if this is the moment that I need to do it. And I went ahead and just had faith that it was like going to land well with the people.
Yeah. Well, it certainly was well received, because a lot of your designs have been lauded as these great kits on there. Just a note regarding Illustrator. Jason was saying that he got himself Illustrator and he learned it within 2 weeks. He bought himself the Quick Start guide, which we've linked to on the previous podcast on the notes. And it took him 2 weeks to teach himself. So I don't know if that's, maybe he's superhuman, but it's just something worth noting for anyone listed who was scared of Illustrator.
I mean, I was able to purchase a lot of cool, you know, like a computer and stuff like that, like a tablet to draw and whatnot. So it's easier for me in that sense that I could use many different hardware and software. I did take some classes or a class for Illustrator. So I'm still a beginner because I haven't really put in the time into it because of my job and designing, and it's been very difficult to find the time to actually put into the software. I don't know. I've never met the guy, but it seems like he's a little bit superhuman. It is difficult. It is a difficult software.
Yeah. I mean, you do have a connection with Jason, don't you? Because you entered one of the competitions that we had on the website a couple of years ago, which was a St. Pauli competition, which he designed the St. Pauli kits. Then he came to, we spoke to him and he said, well, I'd love to judge a competition on the website on fantasy designs for St. Pauli, which was a brave thing to do for him because the actual kits hadn't been released at that point. So he said he'd come and judge that. And you entered that competition, is that right?
Yeah, it was the last minute entering. It was about to close, and I remember drawing on the last day of the competition and submitting my designs that day.
And how did you do? Did
yeah, Well, I mean, if you go onto the competition website, my designs were the last ones, or second to the last ones to be entered. He chose my away kit as the winner. He mentioned some negatives and some positives, but he really liked it apparently. My home didn't get, it wasn't chosen for anything. I later on I saw an article that he wrote, and he posted that picture of the home kit that I designed on that article, and it was pretty cool to see because the article was about future designers that he thought were gonna pop up later on. And well, he's like a little wizard, or like a little, I don't know, Nostradamus.
Yeah, so
Crazy.
he wasn't wrong then, was he?
Oh.
That's he's got a good eye for it then. So what did just before we go any further and actually look into what happened next with you, because you continued to upload the designs to the website, and we'll put some on the notes, so you should be able to see some on the notes here, so you see some of Irving's designs. But something we said when we set up the website, this isn't something you can navigate to via the website anymore, but I think you could probably still Google this. We put a mission, like an about us page on the website initially, and it was like a mission statement really. And this is what I did. I wrote this, and I said our idea was to give designers a platform from which to expose their work and also create a community where ideas could be shared through galleries, my blog, and the discussion forum. We hope to facilitate the formulation of ideas and initiate debate concerning all areas of football design, eventually through links to the football design industries. Again, I'm not sure we do have that, but we also hope to become a stepping stone to a related career for many of our contributors. We will cater for all football designers, whether your interest lies in simply in creating accurate renditions of existing kits for Pro Evolution Soccer or FIFA, or your long-term aim is to be working for one of the large football apparel manufacturers, this is the site for you. Whatever your goal, interest, standard, or style, designfootball.com is your site, and your designs will make it what it becomes. So what happened next?
That's wonderful. I've never actually read that or seen that. I don't know if you remember, Moom started the competition. Or I don't know, his real name is, I forget, sorry, but I know his little login name is Moom. He created the Design Football tournament or league, sorry. And I kept participating. I saw it as a cool way to develop my skills and try to get better at what I did, because what I used to do before was just basically on paper or scratch paper, whatever I could find, just draw a shirt, have a shirt or something, to try to just draw what was in my mind. And as I developed my skills on design football, because I hadn't spent that much time doing that before, I cr started creating these figures, these models, I guess, if you will. I started investing into actual professional markers, actual professional paper, and I developed some of the figures that you see now in design football that I used to do, that I still do actually today, to help me design. And I started on the many competitions that were on the website, and it was fun. It was fun to see the reactions, and I actually never, I hadn't won anything yet, actually. It was pretty funny. The last thing I'd participated on was the Copa America one, and that's the only one I actually won to the end. During the design league, I was paired up, one of my many pairings, with Fenton. I don't remember Fenton. The project was to do, or the assigned team was Al Shabab FC. I've never heard from that team before. I didn't know who they were. And do this design and see who they got, for the week. And I started looking online. I couldn't find anything on the team. It was very, very difficult to find anything because, they're a Saudi Arabian team. I don't know how much information there is from was there from them a while back. Anyways, I designed the jersey. It was like a mock-up of an Adidas futuristic soccer jersey. And I put it on Twitter because I had, at that point, I started putting everything on Twitter just for fun, just in case anybody saw that. I never really was on Twitter before. I only started using it for my designs, and I barely knew how to use it back then. I still don't know how to use it completely. and I did a design. I posted it on the design website. The competition went on. I put it on my Twitter account. And I tagged the Al-Shabaab team. I tagged the Al-Shabaab. I don't remember what I tagged, but I tagged them, you know, not thinking anything of it. You know, a couple of days later, I started getting a flood of fans from the Al-Shabaab team asking me who I was, who are you, blah, blah, blah. And it was just tweet after thing after thing. I don't know if you were able to see that because you were also tagged, although the design website was also, Design Football was also tagged on these tweets that were being liked and retweeted and this and that. It was pretty crazy that to see such a huge, for my standards, huge, you know, flow of people coming into my Twitter account and asking me things and talking to me, and it was mostly in Arabic. I didn't understand what the hell was going on, you know. and the competition was going on. I lost the competition to Fenton, you know, and it really didn't matter in the end because this Al-Shabaab thing kept on going for at least 3 months. I'm not joking. It was just on and on. People asking me to do another one. People asking me if I wanted to work for Adidas or if I was going to work for Adidas. This is crazy, you know, to me. This is the power of the internet. It was showing itself, you know, in my Twitter account. And I really didn't think anything of it. They were asking me if I was ever interested in trying to contact the fan club or anything. And I was just like, sure, whatever, you know, let me know what I could do. And nothing really ever happened. This was back in late 2014. And it kind of died out towards, I don't know, December-ish. And I kept on doing the design league, and I won, lost, you know, every other one. And then came the Copa America competition that I don't remember who created it, but somebody created it. And they're like, join, we'll make a mini tournament, and we'll see who wins. And I was assigned the Jamaica team, and I thought it was a very cool opportunity to make something very different. You know, my ideas were flowing. I was trying to be, you know, I was trying to push myself something different that I hadn't seen before on the website. And, the Jamaica design that's on the website, on my Twitter. And then, and I put it online again on Twitter. And I didn't receive anything on Twitter. I thought it was just like a blank, another of the many blank shots that I've taken on Twitter. And I kept on going with the designs. That's actually around the time that Jason Lee put out the article for the future designers. And in about, I guess, I would say 2 weeks after that, after I posted that design, I received a message via Facebook. I had closed my Instagram account, not knowing that that Romaya Sportswear was trying to contact me through Instagram. So this is like another, I had no idea this was happening. I actually had received, funny story, I had received two different messages. It was a guy, during that time, I had recently joined a group on Facebook. It's called Mockups. It's like a Brazilian group. And a guy from Brazil was trying to talk to me about, you know, helping him out with some designs. And at the same time, that same day, two messages, one from Brazil and one from Jamaica. It was a really odd day because I had no idea what was happening. And I kind of, you know, started talking to both of them. One was, you know, it was, I guess you could say, right away he wanted me to, you know, if I ever in the future was interested to help design some like this new brand in Brazil that was, like, it was like low key, nothing serious. It was just a guy, you know, wanting to design. People were asking me, hey, you know, this brand wants to work with you, blah, blah, blah. Please, it's urgent. Please contact us as soon as possible. And I mean, I was wondering why through Facebook, but that was the way that they found me, I guess. And as I started talking to them, I started talking to the Federation directly, because they had, I guess, been in talks with the brand, and they, since they were in this part of the world, I guess you could say they were closer to me to talk to me, right? So as time went on, I started talking to the marketing director at the Jamaican Federation. I couldn't believe it. I was just pretty crazy. And one thing led to another. I started directly contacting myself with Remai Sportswear, and they offered me to work for them to specifically design the Jamaican national team jersey for the Copa Oro and Copa America. I was shocked. I was floored. I had no idea what was happening. It was coming from doing design competitions on design football and working full time to, something like this. It was pretty crazy. I was very wary about the whole situation. And it was kind of like, if they really want, I mean, if they wanted to steal my designs, the normal notions in your mind, start, the gears start turning, and they start thinking through things. And they really wanted my stuff. They could have stole it off the internet. It wasn't something that really made sense to me, that they were kind of like, it was kind of iffy. So I decided to go with it, and trust my gut, and trust that everything was going to be okay, and that everything was going to turn out fine. And as the designs came out, and that was that,
Yeah, so there's a few things that you mentioned there. I mean, it's fascinating. But the thing with the designfootball.com league, and it's, as you say, it's Moom that set it up. Moom is called Joshua Wilson.
Joshua, and, there you go. Yeah.
And he is someone else that we might speak to in the future on this podcast. But he is someone else who, again, has gone from designing. He does various things. So he designs fancy kits, but he also designs templates as well, which he could sell on to people, which is handy as well. And he also has done some professional design work off the back of his fantasy work as well. So it's a similar situation with Josh as well. Mm-hmm. What you say about Saudi Arabia, I don't particularly remember it being picked up like you say you did. So it might be that a lot of the replies weren't actually tagging design football into them. But it is also because it's often the Saudi Arabian and Turkish fans that will go crazy for fantasy designs, and then you'll just have the feed of mentions is just flowing like crazy of all these people talking about these designs. And as you say, a lot of the time it's in Arabic, so you can't even understand what these people are saying, but it is fascinating. They do get very excited about it. The other thing you mentioned there is the Brazilian Facebook group. I forget what the name of it is, but they are crazy about it as well. There are similarities with design football on there as well.
I think it's like Federazione Mockups or something like that. It's
They've got a proper crest, haven't they?
It was a very fancy way of trying to, organize people. It was hard for me because everything was in Brazilian or Portuguese. Sorry, my bad. Portuguese and I mean, I would try to translate one at some like fancy like JPEG this and blah and I was, mine again was all scanned, so I was trying to participate with like scanned things, and it was pretty fun to do. But yeah, they're a very intense group, and in a good way, they love what they do. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, another thing is there's two things you mentioned there. That you mentioned that the idea that Romai, or we won't tar them with that because they clearly didn't do it, but certain companies can just steal the designs, that you don't have you don't really have like a copyright defense system for it. It's out there, and it's a gray area, certainly at best it's a gray area, so they could just take them, and they, to their credit, they didn't. But do you think that the impetus to get you on board came from Remai, or came from maybe the Jamaican fans, maybe, or the Jamaican Federation? Where do you think the initial contact would have come from?
I mean, I'm not sure, because I didn't receive anything from the Jamaican people, fans, nothing on Twitter. Nothing was mentioned. Nothing was retweeted. It was just a couple likes on Design Football, and that was it. From what they told me is that the founder for my sportswear, from what I was told, he wanted me to come on board as soon as possible, and that was it. he sent for me. Especially what happened.
Yeah. So then it was mainly, then it came mainly from the Jamaica Federation side of things. So then how did it move on from that?
Well, the Jamaica helped communication. The I guess the directive came from Remai Sportswear, wanting me to become a part of the design team. The Jamaican were like a Jamaican Federation was a middle person, I guess, a liaison between us, just to get the ball rolling in the relationship. And they helped out and they helped with the negotiations and whatnot. And I mean, from what I know, the directive came from Remai, and it has always come from Remai, and they're being very, very welcoming to me. And I think, yeah, it came from them, I think.
Yeah. So that they made contact with you, you entered into some kind of negotiation. So how did this process start then? So how did it then move on from there?
Yeah, it was a normal, you know, job offer, you know, not normal for me, right? But it was, you know, your normal, typical job offer, and you see what's best for both parties. And we had an agreement, and I was able to agree to work from my hometown here in Texas and you'd be off site, basically communicating with them via Skype, via internet, via email, via WhatsApp and text and whatnot. I talked to them almost every day, and that was the deal. And with hopefully in the future was to join them full time in their base in Abu Dhabi, which is the point I'm actually during this time. We're trying to figure out that's the best move, and I'm in the process of hopefully jumping ship to full time in Abu Dhabi.
Okay, so when you came on initially, this was, you say it was a standard job offer, but it wasn't to go full time with them. You were going to carry on with your day job.
Well, it was. There was talk about that. The initial was to actually jump and go full time, but I was in the middle of my work. You know, I have a girlfriend here. I have my family's here. It was kind of hard to just kind of like split. You know, which is, I mean, if certain circumstances were there, it probably would have been best. But at the time, it wasn't for me personally. And if the possibility of staying here for a while, in order to, you know, dip my feet into everything, was there, that would have been best for me. And that's what they conceded, and they were wonderful in that sense of bringing me into their world. And that's how it started. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So when you started working for them, in terms of the design process, I take it they didn't just take the designs that you'd put on our website or put on the internet. They wanted you to start from scratch again, or how did it work?
Yeah, it was basically start from scratch. They never even mentioned them. They're just design new designs, you know, with the directive doing the national team jerseys for different teams, and they gave me a lot of creative freedom. If you will, they decided, you know, do what you need to do, and then we'll go from there. And that was a cool part, that I was able to have lots of creative freedom, and I was able to explore different templates and different designs and different things. And It's basically been that way. I've had a lot of creative freedom with them, and then I bounce back my designs, and I get feedback, and we get the ideas put together, and the process continues to where the design evolves with time and gets done at the end of the day. The Jamaica design was a little faster because it was, you know, the Copa America. So they had just signed with the Jamaica Federation, and, you know, they needed to have the designs to be able to, or the concept to be able to do the actual development and creating of the designs and manufacturing and all that stuff in time to the presentation and in time to get it done for basically for the tournament. And so that was a much quicker design process for me in that sense. A couple of different ideas, and the one that stuck was the one that you saw in the Copa America, and it was just a little bit of tweaks here and there. It was pretty much there, and the idea was there, and it's been that way. I get the for a certain team, and I do the research, and I do the concept work, I do the design work, and then I bounce back with the design team, the creative director, and everybody else to pitch into what could be done, what could be done, what not done, what's a better idea, what's not so great, you know, what works, what doesn't work, and it goes from there. And that's how.
Okay, so what's the method that you use now? Are you still hand drawing things? How does it work? And do you scan in the images and then send them off to the Middle East, to Romai, or how does that work now?
I mean, at the beginning, yeah, it was me scanning as usual, as me doing for design football. I still hand draw. I mean, that's my strongest the strongest way I design, and I dabble a little bit in on the Illustrator and on the, some of the sketch apps, but it's not the same thing. I haven't fully learned it. I haven't fully gotten to know the software. So the strongest way for me to, or the best way for me to design has been the hand drawing. You know, either scanning or pictures or whatnot. You know, they dissect the pictures and the scanning and whatnot through email or through, actually even through phone sometimes. So yeah, that's the way that I actually still design, and I don't think I'll stop ever. It's always been the best way for me to visualize what I'm doing and visualize every single little detail that I want to put onto the kit.
Okay, so that's maybe a different method to a lot of what the kit designers will do at the minute. A lot of them will use Illustrator now, I suppose. Jason, I'd imagine, will be using Illustrator a lot in conjunction with hand drawn things.
Yeah, and definitely in the near future, I will be transitioning fully onto Illustrator probably, and doing, you know, the normal sketching and the normal design, you know, concept work that I still do, but transferring that onto the Illustrator, Photoshop, InDesign type of software, and making it better, you know, and creating new things, and definitely enhancing my skill set and enhancing my design work, and hopefully merging those two worlds together and making something new, you know, in the future, and having some sort of new processes, and I don't know, you know, maybe something will come out of that. But when it comes to, like, you know, training people, but yeah, I would definitely still use my hand drawing skills until the day that I don't do this anymore. So that will still remain as it is, for sure. It's been good to see, good to experience that type of, I guess, teamwork that you don't see on design football. I mean, design football is very to each their own. You know, you get to just decide what you want and create. That's why it's fantasy. You know, it's something that's very, you know, out there and may not be able to be done in the real world, and as you see in the website, I mean, if one person criticizes or tries to do some feedback, becomes an argument, you know, and that's not how it's supposed to be in the real world. You know, it's to, you know, work together and not have be malleable, be open to what needs to be done to be able to create the design and have it on the team, you know. And it was cool to see that. It was very, very cool to be part of that and still be part of that, and it was nice, you know.
Yeah, what it sounds like there is there's not really the time to be precious about things. So if you submit an idea and they come back and say, well, it's not doable for these different reasons and we can't do that, and you don't really have the position, you're not in a position to say, well, then we're stopping everything. I want that design exactly how I've drawn it, and I'm tearing up the contract right now.
That's definitely not how it goes. you have to be you know, I guess that's the trying to navigate different designs and having the open mind to, you know, to know that what you really, really want might not be doable, might not be the best thing to for the brand or for the team and for everybody, you know. So having that open mind and being able to, you know, be versatile whenever you need to be versatile in design work, and being able to be classic or be able to be, you know, modern, pushing the envelope whenever you get the chance to push the envelope, or trying to be, you know, you have to have that notion that you have to have these different, you have to know that when it's right to be, I guess, like crazy with the designs, or be, you know, more conservative and all that stuff. So, you know, you could try to, in my case, I try everything, and then whatever sticks, whatever is best for the whole company and the whole idea and what we want to do, then I go with that, and I can't look back, you know, and I have to keep on going forward and try to create the best thing possible so that they could be happy. I could be happy and everybody's happy, you know.
This sounds like there are parallels there with what Jason does, but there are slight differences. So when Jason first got into sportswear design, he had I suppose we could say a wealth of experience of designing clothing. So he had an idea of the 3D elements, he had the idea of cut and all these different things. Yeah. Now, from what I'm getting from you there, it's a similar process that you go through, but you're really learning on the job. So you put something forward and they say, okay, it's a very nice design, but these are the reasons it can't happen. Goes back to you, you amend it, and then the next time you design something, you maybe know a little bit more so you don't make the first mistakes. Would that be right?
Yeah, I mean, basically that's what happens. They tell me, you know, this idea might not work, this idea, this is too much, this is too little, you know, go this way, go this route, you know. And I try to be, I mean, I know not to design something that's not doable, you know. That's part of the idea. And I try to push a little bit the boundaries of what can be done, and if it can be done, we'll find it. But if it can, then great, you know. And I am learning on the job. It's a great way to be able to expand my experiences and my horizons. And it's been great to see the my designs evolve. I don't want to say that it's bad to stay in design football, but from where I was a couple years ago to today, I mean, only simply because of the job, and it's the experiences that were given to me by last year, I guess, the chunk of last year were great for the learning curve in this industry. It's very humbling, because I thought I really was an amateur, you know, when I came in, and I need a lot to learn. I'm not saying I'm, you know, professional full on. I'm not the scale of Jason Lee for sure. And I mean, when it comes to knowing, my only background is watching my family. My aunt was my aunt, my mom. They were both people who spent time sewing clothes and making clothes, and just by looking at them doing that. But I really, I guess, through sight. I use my sight to see what can be done, what cannot be done, and kind of direct the brand in my drawings to see what can be done, what can't be done, and they take it or leave it, you know. And that's how it works with, I guess, with me, I guess.
Yeah. There will always be that distinction between, I mean, they're called fantasy designs for a reason. So whilst people could have the idea that if only someone would turn this design into a kit, well, it doesn't really work like that. It is a case of this is a fantasy design, and it would only work in the fantasy world. So if you want to see how it can be turned into a real design, then that's great, and you could go through the process of doing that. But there is a process. It's not someone's just going to take, generally speaking, it's not going to be the case that someone just take a design, although it has happened. So Steve-O very famously, probably 5 years ago now, had one of his Liverpool shirts suddenly appeared in the Far East, was being made into a design, and it was pretty close to what he did, which is incredible, really. But they managed it, and it might be that certainly Steve-O's intelligent enough to become a professional kit designer, but he would have to become it. He is not it as things stand. Yeah. So that's the point. The other thing is that despite you coming from a fantasy kit design background, and you're no longer a fantasy kit designer, you're a kit designer, the imagination that you showed in fantasy kit designs is probably something that sportswear designers and the fans evidently wanted to tap into. So it's not something you want to lose completely, because other people come from a different direction, maybe a trained graphic designer or a trained textile designer or a developer or whatever else leads you to become a professional kit designer. But to have it from a fantasy designer standpoint, you are going to demonstrate imagination that maybe other people don't have to the same extent. Would you agree with that?
I would definitely agree with that. I looking around and meeting other people online and seeing what they do and how they do it and the processes and the people I actually work with, you know, it's a very different eye. And from what I see, it's a very unique way of creating clothes, creating apparel, sportswear apparel. I mean, it's very neat to have had the experience as a fantasy kit designer, because I think that in this world, I have a slight edge with the imagination of what can be done, you know, and that imagination can be, you know, condensed a little bit and just brought down a little bit, and that can create the kit, you know. And definitely I still try to stick with that imagination. I still try to go as far as I can and then see what can happen. And that's what I have taken from being part of the community. I definitely want to push the boundaries. I definitely want to keep that soul alive in my creations, because that's always been my soul, you know, trying to design things that haven't been seen before and that are not just practical in function, but also great to the eye and great to the fans and people love them and identify with, and they're cross-cultural, and people from Asia like it, and people from the Americas like it. It's not just, you know, creating clothes, you know, that soccer players can wear and fans can buy. It's more than that, and I think the fantasy aspect of it carries a lot of this love and passion for the sport and passion for the design and passion for the team and what the team means for each and every fan. And and it's great to have had that experience to jump in from the fantasy world to the actual professional world. It's unreal, definitely. I still don't believe it, but it's there. And I definitely take all that experience and still use it today. I'm not letting go of that. And I think that that's something that other people, other designers on the website could aspire to, you know. Definitely don't stop, you know, don't stop doing the fantasy jobs. Don't stop doing the fantasy life, I guess. And you never know what can happen.
This is what could happen. A kit you've designed is being worn by an international team. Now, did Jamaica do particularly well in the kit that you designed?
They did. It was one of those one in a million experiences that I had never imagined. It was, they played very well in the Copa America. They didn't win, but they put up a fight, you know. They played against Argentina, Uruguay, and I think it was Paraguay. And it was cool to see that they were doing pretty well. And I think that led them to do extremely well in the Copa Oro here in the States. And to my disbelief, they made it to the final. They beat the United States in the semifinal. They played against Mexico, my home country, in the final. They had never reached the final, and it was one of those things that I never had dreamed of. You know, they played my home country in the final, wearing my shirt.
Yeah. But you're also based in the US as well.
Yeah.
So based in the US, they beat USA in the semifinal, which I think, despite losing to Mexico in the final, this is the Gold Cup for anyone who Copa Oro, I think is where it's what it's called in various countries, but we'd probably know it in the UK as Gold Cup. So they beat the United States, was a huge shock in the semi-final. No one actually thought this was possible, and they lost to Mexico in the final. But it wasn't with great disappointment, was it? I think they came out of the tournament very happy. Is that, would that be correct?
Yeah, I mean, just by the mere fact that they made it to the final, I think they had already the best tournament ever, I think. And they played well for a while, but Mexico was dominant in that game, I guess, if you want to put it that way. And but for the tournament itself, they were great. They played great football, and they were very dominant of other teams. And I actually saw them play in Houston, because they played in Houston against I think it was El Salvador. No, it was against Canada. I'm not sure. I actually got to see them live, which is pretty cool, also. Yeah, they played very well. They set the standard high, because they're going to be also playing in the Copa America Centenario, which is starting in June. And from what I believe, they're going to be using the same jersey. So that's going to be cool to see as well.
Okay, yeah, that is good. Now, as well as, we've touched on it, but as well as Jamaica, you ended up deciding the Al-Shabaab. Now, this is particularly strange, because Al-Shabaab was the team that you'd ended up being given, was it in the tournament on Design Football, that you'd be given Al-Shabaab, is that right?
Exactly. It was just a random, one of those random assignments from Moom, that it was, that's a team that I was assigned to, or, you know, in the, I don't know how he ended up with these, picks, but randomly assigned to in one of the weekly competitions. And I designed a fantasy kit back in, I think it was September 2013. And I competed against Fenton, which we had many one-on-ones that were pretty cool. My hats off to Fenton, you know, wherever he's at. And I ended up losing that competition by, I don't know, 2-3 votes. But I put my design on Twitter. I tagged the team, and lo and behold, the team's fan base saw it, and flood of people from the team's fan base started coming into my Twitter account. It was unbelievable. I got like 200 new followers, something like that. 250 new followers with daily at least 20 or 30 retweets or stars. I don't know what they're called. I guess a couple of weeks ago, I still get mentions, I still get retweets, and it's pretty crazy to see that it's been 2 years almost and it's still happening. Even with the new, even with the actual kits that are out there now, I still get those retweets. The fan base went crazy with my design, Zach, and losing that weekly competition at the end of the day was bittersweet. You know, I got to have the fan base be following me for a while and asking me questions and asking me to do the away concept of that design, which is pretty cool too. Which I got to flex those muscles back in the day. And there were targeting that team, and they were able to sign that team after I came on, and I helped, you know, with the template of those kits, and I also designed the goalkeeper jersey and their winter training gear, and it's pretty crazy to see the actual team, the fantasy team that you designed for, you know, a while back, actually be wearing the designs on a daily basis. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's all great. So a design that we've seen recently for Rabai is we've seen Bahrain's home and away kits. Now, did you have any involvement in those?
The home kit was, I guess you could say, inspired by some of the designs I did for Rabai back in early 2015. Some of the aspects of my concept work are there on the graphic and on the collar. The collar is actually something that I created, particularly as a template. And it's some of the stuff that I designed, the concept work that I did is definitely on there. It was a collaboration again, as everything is in the design process. And yeah, the home kit looks pretty sweet, you know. The away kit is pretty cool too. But I was more involved with the home kit than the away kit for sure.
Yeah, that's a great design. Okay, so in the future, you're not quite sure yet, or it's looking likely that you're going to be moving out to the Middle East. Is that right?
It's a possibility. I'm not sure how big of a possibility, but it's in the works, and hopefully soon in the near future, it'll all be decided whether it's going to happen or not. And we'll take it from there. I mean, it would be great to join the Rabai team in Abu Dhabi for sure.
Yeah, and then that would be the full transition to being a full-time kit designer.
Definitely, yeah.
Okay, that is quite a story. I mean, even Jason, who is separate from the website, still fascinated story to hear how he's developed and become a great kit designer as well. But to hear a story about someone from the website making it is just fantastic, and it offers hope to other people. But the resounding point is always it will be hard work and being open to learning things. It is not the case that simply because you're a fantasy kit designer that you could then transition immediately to becoming a professional kit designer. There will be a lot of work in there, and you will have to listen to other people, which sometimes when you see some of the arguments on Design Football, maybe some people aren't so open to, and it's a skill that they'll need to learn.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that can be learned from now on, I guess, if you want to, if people listen to this and will listen to the rest of the podcast. Yeah, you have to be constructive, and you have to be friendly, and you have to be, I mean, this website is not to, you know, bash people, and everybody is trying to create art, you know, they're trying to create something that they love, and it's not something to hate people for, I guess. I mean, some people have ruffled feathers and come in with the wrong mindset, and that actually has not gone well. But for the most part, from what I've seen on the website, people love doing this, and it's not something to bash people or to get in arguments about. I mean, people have criticisms, and take it lightly and take it full-heartedly and take it to the best and work with it. You know, people are not trying to harm you, I guess, if you want. Just do what you love in that sense, and take it with a grain of salt, and trying to work with the criticisms, and just keep on doing the work that you love. That's probably my best advice.
It's good advice for being a fantasy kit designer, professional kit designer, and just for life in general.
Yeah, definitely.
That's something we offer there. Okay, well, this has been fantastic, Irvin. Thank you so much for talking to me. Fascinating, and obviously you have to be a little bit careful of slipping into pride, but it is great that you've you've achieved what you've achieved, and it's good for the website, and yeah, something that other people could look up to. If people want to contact Irving, it's Irving Pastene as one word on Twitter, is that correct?
Yeah, that, and it's also my email on gmail@gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook, I'm also on Twitter. I mean, I have the normal social media websites.
Okay, that's, so have a look for that. It's incredibly open. there's his email onto the internet for everyone to use. So if you want to contact him, remember the advice about being friendly. That's quite important.
Yeah, definitely. And thank you, Jay, man. This is I would have never thought this would have been a possibility back in the day when I was just an observer of the website. And this was a great experience for me, I guess, to be part of the community. And, you know, it's great to be part of this new adventure of the website or the podcasts. And I hope to be a good addition and for people to look up to my experiences and take it as a hope or as a a goal to accomplish, and I'm definitely open to talking and to if anybody needs anything or anything like that, I'm open to having a conversation for sure.
Excellent, thank you so much for that. It just goes to show, when you were nervous about joining the website and uploading your designs in the first place, you needn't have been, because here you are at the you're at the top of the game now.
Yeah, definitely, man. If you want to call it that way, yeah, for sure, it's a dream come true for sure. And it's great to see that people following and doing what they do, and hopefully I'll see more of the participants in the community, jump into the actual professional world. And I don't doubt that everybody's qualified in the imagination side of things to jump into the world and do it full on. I mean, I would definitely say that it's hard. It's really hard to get your foot into the door. It's really, really hard, especially if you didn't go to school, especially even study these things and the software and all that stuff. It's really hard. So if you want to go the traditional route, I would recommend it, highly recommend it. Instead of, hoping for a 1 in a million type of opportunity, I would have probably done that myself if I knew that I could do this for a living. And definitely, I think Jason Lee said it too, get your technical stuff done and really, really focus if you really want to do this for sure as a professional and as a life. And, and that's what you want to do. Definitely pursue it and don't hold back. That's my best advice.
Okay. Yep. It sounds like good advice. Just regarding contacting us, we are Design Football on Twitter, designfootball.com on Facebook. I'm J29ers on Twitter. You can talk to me by all means. I'll either be talking about kits, probably more likely base layers, or maybe saying nasty things about Emma Watson or something. I don't know. You can contact me if you like. The other thing is, these podcasts are available on Acast. Regardless of how you're listening to them, Acast is probably the best way to listen, because you'll have the notes, so you'll be able to click through onto whatever we're talking about at that moment. So the order of events is, we upload the podcast to Acast within a day or two, then the notes will be added. So if you want to listen straight away, that's fine, or you can wait a couple of days, or usually within 24 hours the notes have been added, so then you can watch it on the Acast app or on the Acast web player, and then you'll get all the notes as well. Or you can just download it on iOS for Apple handsets, Apple tablets, whatever it is, the iPad, I suppose, is as it's more commonly known, and other podcast apps, you can probably get it as well. But Acast is probably the best way, and you can follow them on Twitter as well. They're great. So thanks very much for that, Irving. It's been great speaking to you.
Likewise.
Look forward to seeing more of your work from Romai Sports.
Thank you. I really, I'll definitely stay on the website and keep on being an observer and hopefully every once in a while, you know, contribute with some stuff. And you'll get to see my work soon, hopefully, and I'll definitely post it on my websites and be on Twitter or be on Facebook or something. But yeah, thank you for the opportunity. It's been wonderful.
Brilliant. Thanks very much for that. Okay, so we'll speak to you again. Bye bye now.
Bye bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.